This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, who's in the loo. Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Good morning, everyone. Happy Taylor Swift album release day. How are we doing today?
She broke the internet yesterday, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Sales already like bigger than anything else? Like already? I would assume so, right? First day sales, probably ridiculous.
She's, I know she's Beyonce trending. Got this thing where they're going back and forth with these albums. I mean, every single year. New album, probably another tour on the heels of it. I'm just saying, this is pretty cool because we're getting blessed with a whole lot of new music.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of it, Smalls, yet. Have you?
I have not, but according to my sources, it's 31 songs, and it's a double
31
album.
31 songs?
That is correct.
Yeah, apparently she dropped one album and then dropped an entirely new album at like 2 a.m., and there is allegedly a song out that people think is about Travis Kelce. It's called So High School. I haven't listened to it yet because it's early, but I will be listening after the show, but people think that that's about him.
Yeah, I mean, so she has 31 tracks on a double album. Beyonce drops 27 tracks on Cowboy Carter. I mean, they're just, I mean, this is a friendly rivalry that just benefits everybody that loves music, and I'm here for it.
What's the sports comp of Beyonce Taylor Swift where they're going back and forth and both are at the top of their game and transformative in their own way?
Both in their primes.
Manning and Brady.
Yeah, that's probably
pretty good.
About right.
Manning, Brady, I mean, LeBron, Steph.
LeBron, Steph is kind of what I thought about, too.
What else?
Nadal, Djokovic?
Well, but there's a third. You got to go Fed, Nadal, and Joker. Fed was better than all of them, and then Nadal and Joker obviously caught up, and now Joker's going to end up with more than either of the other two.
Yeah.
And Nadal dominated the one surface at the French versus the other ones. And
that
reason,
gets very complicated. Let's just go Brady Manning.
No, I'm going to tell you why I brought that up. To both Taylor Swift and Beyonce's credit, they have dominated multiple genres now of music.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce just drops a country album.
Yeah,
it's not just, she's not just playing on clay.
I just saw something yesterday. The top 15 country songs on the awards
are all
billboard
Beyonce?
Are all Beyonce from Cowboy Carter.
That's ridiculous.
The top 15 songs.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not surprised. That album, the more I listen to that album, I think it might be her masterpiece. It's unbelievable.
You, it's phenomenal.
Oh, I know you like it.
It's phenomenal. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for a lot of reasons.
Oh, what are they?
For a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. I could tell you, but I wouldn't be working here on Monday.
Hi, everyone. Oh, we're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You asked.
You hinted.
You asked.
I took that door was open, and I walked right through it.
There you go.
Not with the scissor. We have a big scissor controversy. You know about this?
No, I don't. What's
Scissorgate?
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
So the Property Brothers were here with us the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, unbeknownst to me, they walked out with Hembo's scissors. They asked Rob, our social and digital guy, for a pair of scissors. They took the scissors, and they walked out. And Hembo's now mad that the Property Brothers stole his scissors. We talked about it for like 2 seconds on Greeny yesterday. Awful announcing picks it up. And now it's a thing that the Property Brothers stole the scissors from Hembo.
Maybe they needed it for a ribbon cutting for a new property.
Oh,
that's a good reason as to why.
Exactly.
But you think the Property Brothers would know not to take other people's property?
Okay, you're naughty by nature.
It's ESPN. I think they'll be okay.
No, Mike, who does all of the operations and stuff here, said to me this morning, we actually have a shortage of scissors.
There's a shortage. People run around stealing scissors? What the hell is going on?
I don't know what happened.
There's a shortage on scissors?
I'm telling
Somebody
you.
Somebody get the staples.
I'm telling you.
What do you mean? A shortage on scissors?
He literally said, it's not like we have a lot. We have a shortage of scissors.
That's like saying you have a shortage on paper or a shortage on pens.
I promise
you. You have a shortage on scissors.
CeCe, I promise. I promise you, you will see Mike, who brought us, by the way, hibachi ginger dressing today. What we have created is a mess. And I mean that in the most complimentary, beautiful way. Mm. Because we all love hibachi, so now people are bringing us hibachi sauce.
Yeah.
So Mike walks in today. He says, I got you guys hibachi sauce. We're like, oh, that's great, the ginger sauce. Thank you. He put it in the fridge. He goes, also, we have a shortage of scissors. This Property Brothers thing is an issue.
That is random as hell. So we got plenty of ginger sauce, but we have no scissors. How does that even make any sense?
Also,
well said. That's exactly what's going on.
We do the show in New York City where you could get whatever you want instantaneously. I'm pretty sure we could procure some more scissors.
But I don't know where the scissors are disappearing to. Is somebody, is somebody starting an origami class? Like, what is happening right now?
Where do you take scissors? You're right, like a ribbon cutting in theory. Like, yeah. But the ribbon cutting is usually those big clippers.
Yeah,
you don't have like the little scissors. Yeah.
Somebody got a new barbershop popping up? I don't know what's happening right now.
I don't know what's happening here either.
Why are scissors being snatched from the Seaport studio?
And you know what else? I had no plan to bring this part up, but now it's triggering memories. Yesterday, I had a conversation with Pineapple Jack, who's part of the hashtag crew with Greeny. He said, hey, we got a new laminator. If you need anything laminated, let me know. And I'm like, what am I going to need laminated? How about instead of spending the money on the laminator, buy new scissors?
Yeah.
We have a laminator. If you need anything laminated.
People still laminate stuff?
I was just going to ask that. What are they laminating?
Right.
I'm not kidding again when I tell you this. Hembo had the NBA playoff bracket laminated.
Why?
I have no idea. That's weirder than anything I do in terms of writing down the picks.
I just have so many questions. Why do you have it laminated?
Then you can't update it. Like, what happens tonight with the two play-in games, which you'll hear on ESPN Radio and see on ESPN Television? When someone wins, you can't then write it in.
Well, you can cross it off with a Sharpie, though.
Or you
on a laminator?
Use a dry erase marker.
Or like you print out another one and you have your assistant laminate it.
Well, I don't have an assistant.
Well, Hembo does. So that's why.
Oh. Okay. Well, yep. So we got scissor gates.
So Hembo has an assistant, but we have a shortage on scissors.
Yes.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, because that makes sense.
But you got ginger hibachi sauce, so
we have ginger hibachi. Here's what we've learned. We have ginger hibachi sauce, a laminator, and Hembo has an assistant, but we have no scissors. Got it.
That
All right.
Makes sense.
NBA playoffs getting going. Well, the last of the play-ins tonight. We have all the games tomorrow. Is there a storyline right now that we're looking at and you would say, you know what, that is the number one storyline that we need to pay attention to going into the postseason?
For the first round, it would be Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Phoenix Suns, because Phoenix could ultimately end up blowing this up depending on how things go starting this weekend, right? If Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal can't get out of the first round, then there's a good chance that Matt Ishbia, the new owner, is not going to sign off on keeping that payroll where it's at, paying through the nose on the luxury tax. They're going to move off of some of those players, and namely, it's going to be Kevin Durant, right? He's the big chip that they can move that still has a lot of value around the NBA. If you're not going to get out of the first round for a team that's very expensive, then it just makes sense to move off of those guys. Now, conversely, I think this is a big postseason for Anthony Edwards. This is somebody that on NBA Today yesterday with Malika Andrews says he expects to be the best player in the entire NBA in 2 to 3 seasons. And he already is probably the most box office player in the NBA, just with the highlight reel dunks and the defensive plays that ended up saving games. So I just think that is a fascinating first round series. But overall, I think this is the biggest postseason for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think the Boston Celtics have more pressure on them than anybody in the playoff field. And it's because they have a clear path to the NBA Finals through the Eastern Conference. Every single team in the East has serious questions. A lot of them due to injury. A lot of them due to inexperience. Either way, it sets up for the Boston Celtics to get to the NBA Finals. 5 conference finals appearances for Tatum and Brown. This has to be the year that they break through and get to the finals and have a chance to win it.
No doubt. No doubt. I totally agree all around. The Phoenix thing is fascinating as to, does it ever get to a point where Devin Booker says to them, what are we doing here? Because I think when you're saying that, and I hear you say that, my initial thought goes to Kevin Durant and him saying, all right, maybe it's time for me to go somewhere else already. Smalls, is there a storyline that you're paying attention to as the NBA playoffs get going tomorrow, last of the play-ins tonight?
Yeah, I think the series that I'm circling is the Knicks and the 76ers, because we expected the 76ers to be this force that would come through the playoffs, Joel Embiid healthy at the right time. And a lot of people thought that they would be the main challengers for the Boston Celtics. Evan, I know you certainly included among them. But after that play-in game versus Miami, Joel Embiid clearly not looking like himself. I'm really interested to see what Philadelphia looks like versus the Knicks, if Joel Embiid is able to progress as the series goes on. But one of those two teams, I think, is going to be the premier threat to the Boston Celtics in the East, if either one of them are. But watching those two teams closely to see how they would potentially match up with Boston.
Yeah, very interesting on that as well. Obviously, Philadelphia, we spent a ton of time on them yesterday. They beat Miami. Jimmy Butler from Miami is now out weeks, unfortunately. Same with Zion Williamson. Those two play in the play-ins tonight. Let me add one other one, guys. And this may be a sneaky one that we're not talking about enough. Is Kawhi Leonard going to play?
He better.
Well, he's listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. He's banged up right now. We know that Kawhi, it feels like, despite his historical greatness, is always hurt. And yet he's hurt again. And we haven't paid as much attention to that because the Clippers have kind of been in that top five all year. Are we sure he's going to play? Because I'm not.
Well, they just gave him an extension. And this is the regular season where he's played the most games since he's been a Clipper. It just feels like this is the time that they have to capitalize on it. Because if he's unavailable and if they have a one and done in terms of playoff series in the postseason, then there's a real chance that Paul George could bounce. Paul George has got a player option this summer. He can decline that option and go into free agency and sign somewhere else. I know a lot of people are linking him to the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, Southern California is home for Paul George. Right. So I don't know that he wants to leave home. He's got an owner that'll pay through the nose whatever it takes for the team to be successful. They got a brand new arena that they're going to be unveiling next year. So it seems like it would be a good place to play. You got Ty Lue, a great coach, top five in the game.
No doubt.
But if Kawhi Leonard is not going to be healthy in the most important time in the NBA calendar, then what exactly are you doing if you're Paul George? Are you just getting cardio with the regular season? I mean, are you just running up and down for the physical benefits of it? Because it ain't gonna lead to winning championships staying on that team. And so I guess that would be my big concern if I'm the Clippers. Yeah, there's an opportunity to compete for a championship. We can't gloss over that.
Right.
But I do think there are some long-term ramifications if Kawhi Leonard is unavailable early on in this series, because the margin for error against this Dallas Mavs team is slim to none, because you have the best tandem. Well, I would say the tandem that's playing the best in the NBA right now with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving on the other sideline.
Let me just read you guys a quote quickly here. This is from Lawrence Frank, the president of basketball operations for the Clippers, about Kawhi Leonard. He's doing everything. Our medical staff is doing everything to get the inflammation down so he can play. Progress has been made, but more progress is needed. The inflammation needs to continue to reduce so he can do functional basketball movements. I mean, that does not sound like someone that is ready to play for game one if Lawrence Frank is telling us exactly what is going on. So we have all these early storylines.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I think we got to note this. Like, when Kawhi Leonard was healthy early on in the season, the Clippers were 34-15, and they were the number one seed in the Western Conference. But since that point where he got banged up in the regular season, they've been 17-16, and they're ranked 10th during that span in the Western Conference. So they need this dude to stay healthy.
Oh, God, yeah.
They need him to be effective. If he's not healthy, if that they can't get the swelling out of that knee, if he's compromised from a health standpoint, then it's going to be an early exit from the playoffs for the Clippers. There's no doubt about it. He's just that important to what they're doing.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with the easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Wait a minute. You guys left out the Lakers and the Nuggets. No, we didn't. Take a listen coming up to what Stephen A. Smith had to say about what LeBron James could gain potentially with a win against Denver. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Lakers and the champs. LeBron, Jokic. We got it starting tomorrow. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. So many people, including Lakers fans, like, I don't know, one with the Super Bowl ring sitting next to me, don't think their own team can win. Just don't think that tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC, that there's any chance the Lakers are going to win this series. Stephen A. Smith on First Take gave this about what happens if they do and they potentially win it all.
If LeBron James beats Denver and marches forward to ultimately win another chip, I don't know how strong my argument is going to be on behalf of Jordan moving forward. Mm.
Oh, boy. We went here. We went here. I mean, this Denver team is really good. They're not the 72-win Bulls. They're not the Warriors with KD. They're awesome. But this is not some insurmountable task for LeBron James. LeBron James has had way more difficult series won than this would be. Down 3-1 to the Warriors is way more difficult than whatever this is going to be. You're giving me a look. I mean, they're great, CC, but they're not the Warriors.
Yeah, but you also got to factor in where LeBron James was in his career when he overcame that deficit to the Warriors. Like, mm-hmm. LeBron James was at the height of his powers. He was the best player not only in that series, but in the entire league. That's not who he is anymore. And I get it. The numbers that he put up this year in the regular season are right there on his career averages. I think this is the 12th year where he's averaged 25-7-7. That's great. But we all recognize this is a diminished LeBron James, especially when it comes to his contribution on the defensive side. When you look at the Denver Nuggets, this is a buzzsaw. I mean, you're talking about a team when you have Jamal Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic, when they're all in the lineup, when they all start games, I mean, this is the best starting five in the NBA, and they got the plus-minus to prove it. Plus 282 on the court when they're all in the starting lineup. That's the best in the league. You're talking about a record of 37-11 when they all start. Again, this is an unstoppable force that we're talking about, and let's not also discount the home court advantage that the Denver Nuggets have with playing at altitude. So all of those things factor into the math, and then you're talking about Nikola Jokic being the best player in the league. This is going to be his third MVP in four seasons. He's already got a finals MVP under his resume. Like, he is the best player in the league. So if LeBron James is able to get the Lakers out of this series, it would be him summoning something that we just haven't seen from him before. And quite frankly, we haven't seen from any NBA player, in his age 20 season or better. And so I think that's the part that makes this intriguing. And that's the part where I agree with Stephen A. If LeBron James wins this series on the way to winning a title, this will be his masterpiece. This will be the most incredible feat that he has accomplished throughout his career.
Yeah, I completely agree. If LeBron James is able to go in and carry this LA Lakers team to a victory over the Denver Nuggets and the dominance that has been Nikola Jokic, we are going to talk about this as part of a bullet point of his overall legacy and his overall resume. This is a team that a lot of people do not think has any chance of beating Denver, and so much so that they thought that LeBron and the Lakers should avoid them at all costs in the play-in game. A lot of people would be very surprised if the Lakers went in and beat Denver, and I am with Stephen A. on this one. I truly think that if LeBron James and the Lakers are able to do this, this is another thing that we're going to talk about as far as LeBron's legacy is concerned. Now, if they go on to win it all and they take down Denver along the way and likely potentially a Boston Celtics team that has been so dominant, this is one of those things that, even though despite his legacy being pretty firmly intact, something that can only enhance it.
Yeah, I guess I just look at the Lakers completely differently than everyone else. I look at this roster with 12, I think about 12 playable guys when healthy in a postseason game. 12.
Your rotation is not going to be that deep.
I'm not saying it's going to be, and not everybody's healthy.
Yeah, you're
going
to have 8 guys on the court.
But what's the knock on the Nuggets?
They have no depth.
So, and LeBron James, we could say he's doing things that nobody's ever done, which he is, and that he's not the guy he once was, sure, but numerically he is, as you pointed out, he still is 26-8-7.
Come on, Evan, don't do that.
I'm just saying, LeBron James,
it's not
I can't
same
believe,
LeBron James
I know,
that we saw
it's also not the same Anthony Davis, he's actually playing most nights. He's playing 76 games.
Are we going to see him play in every night against the Denver Nuggets?
I can't believe.
Because that's not how the series was last time they played in the Western Conference Finals. That's not how it went. Anthony Davis took every other game off. Like, is he going to actually show up to play every single game against Nikola Jokic?
He better. I just can't believe that I'm the one now defending LeBron and the Lakers here. I just don't think it's as much of a write-off that, oh, there's no chance that they're going to win this series. I'm not saying
they can't make it a series.
No, I'm just saying win.
No, they're not going
to
win.
I'm not picking them to win, but if you told me they did, it would not shock me. It wouldn't.
It wouldn't shock you?
It would not shock me.
It would shock the hell out of me. I mean, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, respectively, rank 1 and 2 when it comes to points per game increase from the regular season to the postseason. These two are at their best when their best is required, and Shaq talks about it all the time. When you get to the postseason, you got to step your game up. You got to average 5, 6, 7 more points per postseason game as opposed to what we saw in the regular season, and both of those dudes do that. That is the most deadly pick-and-roll combination in the entire league. Both guys can initiate offense. Both guys can take big-time shots in the clutch. Both guys can facilitate the greatness of other players outside of them. So I just... That is the part where I just don't know if the Lakers have a real answer for it. As great as Anthony Davis has been defensively, I don't know that we can say that he can play Nikola Jokic to a draw. And that's the part where I say LeBron James has to enter the chat in terms of being the difference, being able to make this Lakers team greater than the sum of its parts. Because if he can't do that, then there's no chance that they have to advance to the second round.
The problem with this for the Lakers in terms of the hypothetical of, oh my God, if they're able to beat the Nuggets, could they win a title? Mm-hmm. Is the amount of energy and effort it will take to win this series and then win 3 more seems hard to imagine.
But you know what, though? If you're going to have to get through the Denver Nuggets to do it, this is the time you want it. Because in the first round of the NBA postseason, you're guaranteed multiple days off between each game in the series. So I think from that standpoint, you want to have LeBron James in those extra days of rest if you can get him, and they're going to have it set up that way for him in this first round. Now, listen, this is as tough a draw as you're going to get.
Yep.
But if you're going to have to go through him to win a title, this is when you want to play him.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into the NFL draft. We are less than a week away from the first round of the draft, and one of the teams atop the draft, let it be known yesterday, they may be interested in moving their pick. We will get to that, but first, want to tell you all about True Green. Oh, beautiful lawn. Think about it. It's sunny outside. You're sitting outside. The lawn is beautiful, manicured properly. It's green and healthy. Well, I can't do that myself. What are you kidding me? That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. Just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by tomorrow, April 20th, get one application free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price. Guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What did the Pat say about the third pick? We're going to find out in a second, but you know, we try not to get personal on this show in terms of insulting others.
Mm.
Well, Chris Canty just got very personal and insulted me, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this the rest of the show. You got nasty, you got mean.
Well,
it was just
me telling the truth.
No, but it's offensive.
It's just me telling the truth.
You said to me.
We pride ourselves on telling America the truth.
Yeah, but you
We're
knew.
We're just truth tellers.
You knew it was going to hurt me what you said.
I wasn't trying to hurt you.
Well, tell everybody what you said. How dare you?
I said
yeah?
The mock draft simulator
right?
is greater than the NBA trade machine.
No, it's not.
It is.
There's
it
nothing better. Is. There is no
on
website ESPN better than the trade machine.
On ESPN.com, our mock draft simulator for the NFL draft is better than the NBA trade machine.
No, it's not.
There's no question about it.
The NBA no trade machine website is the single greatest website ever made, including any of the ones that Pat or anybody else are going to.
You can go through the entire draft.
You can trade any player at any time.
You can trade any pick at any time.
I don't have a name to a pick. I'm trading. I can take half the Miami Heat and trade it for Kevin Durant.
I think you're being ridiculous right now.
I think you're being ridiculous.
No, you're being ridiculous.
It's
right
ridiculous
now.
To think that there's any website better than the trade machine. What is the okay?
The NFL draft is better than NBA summer.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well
you're talking about the website.
I mean, both of them coincide with one another, right?
Like, what's
that's
so great?
That's the value of the NBA trade machine.
But the trade
you want to know what's going to go down throughout NBA summer.
But you could do it 6 months a year. You can't do the mock draft simulator 6 months a year.
No, you're probably right. You only got 4 months. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a bigger deal. The NFL draft is a bigger deal. I'm sorry.
But you knew. You knew it's going to hurt me.
I know you love the NBA. That's all well and good. I'm just old lonely
football
guy.
Don't go sugar on me. I see you
don't have
sugar.
Guaranteed contracts. Okay, that's all well and good. I'm just telling you, more people are fired up about the NFL draft than they would be about NBA
You're
summer.
You're twisting it.
Thereby, the mock draft simulator is better than the NBA trade machine.
You're twisting it.
I'm talking
about the website, the actual website, the ESPN.com trade machine versus the mock draft simulator.
I'm not gonna be out.
Fine. I'm not doing it either.
I'm not gonna let you get my blood pressure.
I'm out.
Friday morning.
No, I'm turning my back.
It's 6:30. I'm not going to let you do this.
No,
that's
it. You
can turn your back.
No,
that's fine.
It. Yeah.
You can be wrong.
You could be wrong, too.
I'm not wrong.
You are.
I could be, but I'm not.
Elliot Wolf, director of Pat Scouting, what do you think about the third pick, which has nothing to do with what we just talked about?
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and you know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
So that is very interesting, obviously. And I have made a decision as a current Pats fan. Current, meaning wherever Belichick goes, I'm going with him. But current Pats fan. I listen to CC on everything except for the mock draft ridiculousness. And what does CeCe say about the quarterbacks this year? He says Caleb 1, and who does he say 2? All the time.
Drake May.
So if Drake May is going to be that good, as he says, there is no price that could be paid to me as a Pats fan to move out of that spot if he's available. I've made my decision.
He might not be
answer.
Available, though.
That's a different story.
He might not be available. I don't know if people have checked in on the odds for the Commanders, who they're going to take. Right now, Jaden Daniels is minus 125 to be the second overall pick. Drake May is minus 105. It is literally a pick 'em again. And we keep saying it's like the Commanders and Adam Peters, you know, we generally hear this time of year that, you know, the GM, the front office, they haven't made up their mind. And we recognize that that's probably just coach speak or just smoke. But I genuinely believe that they haven't made up their mind. I mean, earlier in the week, the Washington Commanders brought in all of the elite quarterback prospects, the guys that we expect to hear their names called on Thursday night when the draft kicks off. They brought them all in at the same time, which is something that's a little bit unconventional, but something that Adam Peters brought with him from San Francisco because it's what John Lynch used to do. But I don't know that the Commanders have settled on one of these quarterbacks, and I got to tell you, I really love Drake May. Here's the one thing I will say. Drake May, from a stature standpoint, makes me feel more comfortable because we talked about how slight of frame Jaden Daniels is. But then also, Drake May is 2 years younger than Jaden Daniels. That's 2 years of development. That's 2 years of projecting more growth. I mean, he's by no means a finished product, but there are a lot of great raw materials to work with. And again, when you start talking about the comps, I love guys that remind me of players that have had a lot of success in this league. And when you look at Drake May, it's impossible to ignore the comparisons to Justin Herbert and what we've seen from him early on in his NFL career.
So, Smalls, why would the Patriots then move out of that if he's available?
If Drake May is the guy, I'm with you, Evan, that there is no amount of draft capital that could be offered to them that would be able to make up for the fact that he's a franchise quarterback. But I keep thinking about this, guys. as much as we talk about Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, the probability that all three of those guys are going to go on and be the guy, be that franchise quarterback, be that transformational piece that these three franchises that take them think that they will be is highly unlikely. We just see it so often in the NFL where these highly touted quarterbacks coming out of college do not translate. I keep thinking about the Patriots who have holes to fill. They are, I don't know if you want to call it in rebuild mode, but they are certainly retooling their organization in a lot of different ways, and they need a franchise quarterback. But if they aren't 100% sold on whoever is available for them at three, if they are in on Drake May and he goes number two to Washington and they're not sold on Jaden Daniels or whoever it may be, if they could trade out of that pick, get more capital, and then roll the dice on somebody like a Michael Penix Jr., who was very amazing at Washington. He got Kalen DeBoer the Alabama job. He, if the medical's clear, could be somebody that could be a great option for them right now while they get more draft capital to build their team.
Smalls, I agree with everything that you're saying, particularly with the part about the top three quarterback prospects not all being guys that develop into true franchise players. Because the reality is that in the NFL, more quarterbacks are ruined than made, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these guys can get the career knocked out of them. You've seen it time and time again. It happened to David Carr. I mean, it happened to a lot of different quarterbacks around. I mean, you run down the list of the busts that we've seen in the first round, and a lot of that has to do with the environment that these guys are placed in and them taking a lot of hits because the roster is not in a place to properly support a franchise quarterback. I completely disagree with one of the things that Booger McFarland said is never the wrong time to do the right thing. I do believe it does amount to timing when you take one of these quarterbacks, because the reality is that these teams are not in a position to sit these players if they're not having success on the field, right? They're just not. Like, this is not the same NFL that it was 20 years ago, where people didn't care about the record. Coaches got 4 or 5 years of runway. That's not how it is anymore. If a coach doesn't show signs that they're turning the corner within the first two seasons, they're going to fire that guy.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have a starter that's in place, that's a competent quarterback, and your team is not having success, then you're going to have to throw that young guy in there before the team is ready to actually support him properly for them to have success. So I just think that if you're the New England Patriots with all of the holes on that roster, it makes sense to trade out of the number three pick. I'm not saying that you can't get a quarterback in this draft. I'm not saying you can't get a quarterback in the first round. I'm just saying you have to take advantage of having the third overall pick and knowing that there are three elite quarterback prospects in this class. You trade back, you acquire multiple first round picks. Maybe the Minnesota Vikings, you can get two first round picks this year and get a first round pick next year. And then use that number 11 overall pick to try to slide back in the top 10 to get the fourth quarterback on the board. There are a lot of different machinations, a lot of different possibilities. But if you're Elliott Wolf, you've got to entertain all of them because your roster needs so much help.
I understand that. But the way I look at it is if Drake May is available and he is as good as you have scouted him to be, he is the ultimate Joe Malone cologne, and he's going to make you smell good at all times. He's going to make up for, you know, the left tackle's a B, not an A. The wide receivers are a B, not an A. Like, quarterback solves all. It just does. And I get the idea.
Yeah, but you don't want the guy to get cut in half like we saw with Joe.
But he's
Joe
not going to play. That's actually the beauty of this with New England is because it's Brissett. Honestly,
That might be fair.
Because they know him. He's been there before. This is a guy that at Dwyer High School in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, when Jacoby Brissett was there, you know who was sitting there next to him? I know you know the answer to this, Canty. Mm-hmm. Bill Parcells was going to his high school practices with him. He vouched for him with Belichick. And this is the ultimate character guy to sit there and train Drake May. It's perfect.
Can I ask you a question? Would you feel the same way if it was Jaden Daniels?
Well, yeah, I feel with Jacoby.
No, I'm saying, yeah, if Jaden Daniels goes number three.
Well, here's the thing. You don't think as highly of Jaden Daniels as you do of Drake May.
I think there are some concerns with Jaden Daniels in terms of his overall durability. His stature scares the hell out of me. This is a big man's league.
But you also don't like McCarthy. So if that's if Williams and May are off the board, if we're just – let's do it this way. So my opinion with your scouting on this, so to speak – right, Smalls, tell me if this makes sense. Quickly here, we have the idea of Williams and May off the board. Mm-hmm. If you take what CeCe has said, that Daniels ain't close to May and Williams, and McCarthy is way down even below Penix, they're not going to take Penix at three. That's when you could trade out in that spot.
Yeah, exactly. And you still get a quarterback, and a quarterback that was very good in college, if the medicals clear out and you feel comfortable with him, and you get more draft capital to continue to build the team. Evan, as a Patriots fan, if they were able to do that, trade out of number three, get what the Vikings are reportedly willing to offer them that we've discussed, those two picks this year in the first round and an additional first rounder, and they get somebody like Michael Penix Jr., how would you feel about that?
Well, that's a nice scenario. If you're, again, I'm just going, yeah, since I mean, he's watching these guys more than I have.
You could draft a tackle at 11, another tackle.
And Penix
and
at 23.
And you could take Penix at 23.
Yeah.
And you pick up another first round pick at 2025 for your trouble.
I don't like that he's a lefty, but nonetheless.
Oh my God.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Usually we don't rank stuff on Fridays. We reserve that for Tuesdays.
But
in the words of our fearless leader, our producer, Nuno,
Hello!
Got some power rankings. It's NFL Draft Edition. Teams that must draft a quarterback in the first two rounds of the NFL Draft, which kicks off next Thursday. All right, so teams that are desperate, teams that are desert thirsty for a quarterback, these are the top five teams that must draft a quarterback in the first two rounds of the NFL Draft. Let's kick this thing off, Jovante.
Number 5.
The New York Jets! This is one of those things where the owner has to step in. I know that the general manager and the head coach have burned the boats. They are pot committed to Aaron Rodgers. It's championship or bust. If they don't get to the playoffs and go on a deep run, then both Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas are going to be fired. So I get it. I understand where they're at as a team. But when you have the 10th overall pick in a quarterback-rich draft, it's absolutely a consideration. Now, the Jets don't have a second-round pick because of the Aaron Rodgers trade. But this is a scenario where they could trade down and pick up an offensive lineman or pick up a wide receiver, depending on what's still left on the board, and actually pick up more draft capital in this year's class. So I think that's something that the Jets have to strongly consider in round two. If they're able to get a second round pick by virtue of trading down, they have got to find a way to get a quarterback in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, because there is no succession plan for Aaron Rodgers, and that doesn't put the franchise in a place where they're going to be very healthy, especially considering the young core of really talented players that they have.
You said something very key, because the general manager and the head coach are going to be in win-now mode. So that has to come from above them.
No doubt. No doubt. Next.
Number 4.
The Las Vegas Raiders. Listen, man, just look around. Read the room, Antonio Pierce. Like, AFC West, you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes, and you got to deal with Justin Herbert now that he's got Jim Harbaugh. Aiden O'Connell ain't going to get that done. Gardner Minshew, God bless him, put together a good season with the Colts, but he ain't it either. You've got to find a franchise quarterback, and I don't know that you're going to use the number 13 overall pick to do it, but I certainly think there'll be opportunities for you in the back half of the first round to address it, maybe move back in, mortgage some future draft capital, and take a run at a Michael Penix Jr. or a Bo Nix. I don't believe in Bo Nix, but if you have an opportunity to get back into the 20s or the low 30s to get a Michael Penix Jr., then they absolutely should do that. I'm not going to completely rule out the Las Vegas Raiders making a run to the number 3 overall pick just because of the history that Antonio Pierce has with Jaden Daniels. He coached him in high school, coached him at Arizona State. I do think that's a possibility if he's still on the board when the Patriots are on the clock next Thursday night. But the Raiders absolutely have to come away with the quarterback in the first two rounds next week. Next.
Number 3.
The Minnesota Vikings. We know what time it is. I mean, they made the move, did the dance with the Houston Texans to procure a second first-round pick. And they've been talking about moving up the draft board, getting inside of the top 10, maybe even the top 5 to try to get one of these elite quarterback prospects. I would be shocked if they go into the year knowing that Sam Darnold is going to be the QB number 1 without any competition from a rookie. They absolutely have to come away with a quarterback in the first two rounds. When they let Kirk Cousins walk out of the door, they pigeonholed themselves into this path of being able to get a quarterback early in the NFL draft. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, their general manager, Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, they have to find a way to be able to pull off this move.
They're the most obvious one, right? Like, if they don't have a quarterback in the first two rounds, I think we'd all be stunned.
They're
up there with, like, the top 3 picks in the draft in terms of how obvious it is that they need a quarterback right now.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that what they had last year between Nick Mullins and Josh Dobbs and the rookie, Jaren Hall, that ain't it. They ain't got it. So they need to find it in this NFL draft.
Yeah, but your number 5 team that you had, the Jets, would have dreamt to have that quarterback depth chart last year.
That's a great
point. Think about that.
That's a great point. Javonte, if you would.
Number 2.
The Washington Commanders, they got the second overall pick. They're taking a quarterback. Forget about this nonsense about the Commanders trading out of the number 2 pick. They ain't going to do that, right? They got to take advantage of this. They stockpiled on the defensive side of the ball this offseason, brought in a lot of lieutenants for Dan Quinn. I think they're going to be much improved in that area. But the only way that they're going to get better on offense is if they get a true difference maker at quarterback. Now, Sam Howell had a fine season, but, I mean, Sam Howell was limited in terms of the physical tools. No matter who they take, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, the offense will have so much more upside because that quarterback under center will have so much more talent than what they've had in recent years. So they have to take a quarterback. I mean, think about it. They got the weapons in place. They got Terry McLaurin. They got Jahan Dotson. They got Logan Thomas. They got some weapons in place for a young quarterback to work with. They just got to get the quarterback. And that's why I think the new general manager with new ownership in the town, they're looking to make a splash after year one, and the splash is the quarterback, make no mistake about it. But there can only be one team in the NFL that is desert thirsty for a quarterback, and that is?
Number 1.
The Chicago Bears, right? Like, they're still searching for a quarterback post-Sid Luckman. They haven't had a quarterback since they were wearing leather helmets in the NFL. Like the Chicago Bears have had so many swings and misses on quarterbacks. I mean, go back to 1999, you had Cade McCown. Then you had Rex Grossman. Then you had Mitch Trubisky. Then you had Justin Fields. Like, they've got to find one of these guys in when they have these first-round picks. They passed on the crop of quarterbacks last year, and guess what? It cost them an opportunity to get C.J. Stroud. They absolutely have to nail this pick, and we know that it's going to be Caleb Williams, but they got to make sure that they do everything that they can to properly support him. So that's the list. Power rankings of teams that must draft a quarterback in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, which kicks off next week. Number 1, the Chicago Bears. Number 2, the Washington Commanders. Number 3, the Minnesota Vikings. Number 4, the Las Vegas Raiders. Number 5, the New York Jets. Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
Love the list, CeCe. Bears, Commanders and Vikings are obvious selections. I love the idea of the Raiders getting a quarterback so that Antonio Pierce and his new franchise quarterback could ascend and grow at the same time. And the Jets absolutely should draft a quarterback. You have a quarterback in his 40s coming off an Achilles injury in Aaron Rodgers, who's also really unpredictable. You really never know what's going to happen with that situation. And I think that they should have an eye towards the future because you know that this situation with Aaron Rodgers is not going to last long.
NBA playoffs tonight, ESPN Radio. Tune in to Play in Action, Heat and the Bulls, followed by the Kings and the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. All right, coming up, the Dallas Cowboys think they're going all in. They continue to say that, but are they? We'll get to that next on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.